is obvious. So now, after understanding this, you have to cultivate this practice of right living. Because I realize people, most cultivators only pay attention to the noble eightfold factor of right view, the right understanding. And this one, the three right view, is relatively easy to cultivate if you seriously reflect and contemplate on them, where it only involves the law of karma, karma niyama, then citta niyama, the law of the mind, means paticca samuppada, dependent origination. Then the last one is Dhamma Niyama, the essential Dhamma of the Buddha. So that one, if you really reflect, contemplate, and seriously go into the cultivate, you can understand. Then, to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, relatively easy. But then, if you don't understand this power factor of right living, you think only right livelihood, or then you say, no one. As long as I don't do all those trade or career, get involved in those careers that are violating this right livelihood, then I'm okay. So a lot of people don't know about that, didn't cultivate this one. Now you see, can follow. Because if you interpret this wrongly and call this livelihood, then you will be totally out. Then your cultivation will be affected. Livelihood. Because livelihood is what your career is all about. What you do for a living, career, or what you do for a living. And this is just a very small part of right living. So that's why this one is a wrong interpretation of that power factor. Then after that, of course, you have the other one, right effort. Right effort is also very important. Right effort, no? Vaya, sama vaya, the four right effort. Then of course, right sati, and the last one is samadhi. But if you understand this right living, this fifth power factor, and cultivate it appropriately, your whole of your cultivation will become very different and you will progress very fast. And this is something that a lot of people cannot understand, even cultivator. And this one I have casually mentioned it. But I don't know how many of you really got it. So tonight got condition, that's why I explain it in more detail. And if you want to understand more, you can ask. Is it clear? What you do while living life, that's why the way you live your life is very important. If you live your life following Noble Eightfold Path, which is the advice of the Buddha, this Noble Eightfold Path actually has got eight power factors. It derived from the advice of all the Buddha. You develop right view or right understanding to avoid all evil, understand? So that you are not deluded, heedless. Then to do that, you must cultivate right thought, right speech, right action, so that you are incapable of negativity through your three types of thought, action, speech, and thought process. So if you cultivate these three to perfection, then this fifth one is automatic there. You understand? Because when you have right thought, right speech, right action, you will live your life accordingly. You will not violate anything. Then of course, after that, you have to cultivate consistently the four right effort. And the four right effort is actually to strengthen right thought, right speech, right action. They are all related, understand what? So these two are connected. So the four right effort Alright. This one is connected to this. And they are complementary. If you don't cultivate the four right effort, you cannot have right thought, right speech, right action. You understand that? Yeah? The first two is to deal with wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. You remember? First right effort is to deal with what? Yeah? First right effort is to? Right effort to do what? To abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action that has arisen. You can understand? That's why if you don't have this right effort to abandon, then the second right effort to prevent the arising of wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action cannot be done. Understand? Then after that, you cannot cultivate right thought, right speech, right action. Because the third right effort is to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action that are still not in you. Now you understand. Then what is the last right effort? Right effort to refine upon, not maintain. Maintain is wrong, actually. The Buddha will never teach that. Right effort to refine upon and perfect those virtues that is already in you. Means the right thought, right speech, right action that are already in you. Then after that, meditate. We are sati and samadhi, no more thought, to actually develop the wisdom, to liberate the mind, to free. So this Noble Eightfold Path is all interconnected. Then these last two, sati and samadhi, the seven and the eight path factor, these two, they are connected to the top one. When you develop the perfection of samasati, samasamadhi, this will allow you to see things as they are, to develop the last spiritual faculty of prajna or panya, wisdom. So when you can see things as they are with sati and samadhi, you will develop the right view, the right understanding, because this is wisdom. That's why these two path factors will actually complement the top one. The first power factor of right view, right understanding, initially you don't have. But you have to start somewhere, understand now. That's why you, through the first particular phase of Dhamma, we call Pariyati, you learn the teaching. Then you start to reflect and contemplate in the second term. You put it into practice. What constitutes right view? And then this particular right view, initially after you have learned it from the Buddha, he told you is karma niyama, law of karma. Chitta niyama, law of mind, dependent on origination also. Then the third one is dhamma niyama, all the essential. So you have to reflect, contemplate and go into it to develop the understanding. Then only you can really put it into practice. That's why the phase one of Dhamma Pariyati leading to Patipatti is very important. Then only you can cultivate accordingly. Yeah. So initially when you have the initial right view, means it's not a wisdom yet, but it's an understanding that this is important because of this law of karma. That's why you investigate into it, Dhamma Padawas 1 and 2. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, then all the other related Dhammapada verse, the amounts of the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 23. So when you start to understand all this, then you will be able to start, because like the law of karma, the reason why the Buddha asked you to reflect and contemplate on the five daily contemplation, the last one, again, it matched the law of karma. So when we understand that all of our life depends so much on karma, when we are born of it, and the condition is supported by it. We are what we are because of it. If karma plays such a great role, straight away with that right view, you know what to do with that. What must you do? Take care of karma. That's why all this you must understand. Then you understand why you keep your precepts. You have to take care of karma. You have to avoid all evil. Yes, you have to keep your precepts. Then you have to train yourself in mindfulness to see your mental intention. Then you have to develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma on what constitutes evil. the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and envy. That's why they are all related. Then from there, you can start really. You can move. That's when the puja come in, the advanced of the Buddha come in. Then you understand why you must keep precept. Because those who violate the precept, they have evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. It will cause your karma to fall, your life to become miserable, afflicted. And without merits, wholesomeness, and precept, you cannot start the meditation. Because without sila, you cannot develop the meditation, which is samadhi. Then wisdom cannot come about. That's why Noble Eightfold is sila samadhi anya. It is basically the advice of the Buddha. Then to avoid all evil, to create and purify the mind. So all this cultivation, they are actually complementary. And they are related. The moment you have right view, you know the importance of mindfulness, especially this one, it leading to heedfulness. Otherwise, you cannot even cultivate and hold your precept. That's why you must have heedfulness. Heedfulness is the path to the templates. The heedful never die. All these are very clear. So when you understand, you train yourself in heedfulness, you can keep your precept. Then only you can have right speech, right action, and right thought. And all these are interrelated. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path is one whole path factor. It's not just one by one you practice and cultivate. No. It's like playing mahjong, when you call all the nine cards of the tiles, of whether manji or tongji or shouqi, they call it jiu zi lian huang. You got 3 1 3 9, then 2 3 4 5 6 7 8 in between. You call all the nine cards. That's why Noble Eightfold Path, the way you perfect it or cultivate it, when you realize it, it's like the jiu zi lian huang. Any of the nine tiles that come, you will get. Means any life situation that you encounter, you know what to do, you know how to deal with it, so you cannot suffer again. So this Noble Eightfold Path, like the Buddha said, is the only path that can free you from all suffering. That's why under Noble Eightfold Path, he said there is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. You cultivate it to develop the wisdom, it will lead you to the end of all suffering. That's why this is the meditation. And this one can link to all the meditation that you talk about. That's why I used to tell you all, if you do meditation, then you don't come back to Noble Eightfold Path. If this Noble Eightfold Path is still not in you, then this is not, that meditation you do is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's why a lot of people just go into one small part of samadhi and get stuck there. They think that is meditation. They think the fantastic meditation that they do is equivalent to enlightenment. So they look for calmness, peacefulness, stillness, tranquility of mind, like without movement, unmoving, like a statue, no thought. So just like the Platform Sutta, I think Ponchi helped the volunteer to do the transcript. She just finished the first draft and sent it to me. And it was really good. Because this time I told her specifically, don't add anything, don't subtract anything. You just follow the talk, then transcribe the actual words, word by word. Means verbatim. Then when I listen, I will know what those things are. And I know how to edit it very fast because I can recall what I say. Then the moment I have the condition to recall what I say, I will understand what I meant. Then when I edit and smoothen out the language, the whole of the sharing becomes very different, very beautiful. Because when you speak in verbal form, sometimes it becomes colloquial English, understand? Only we Malaysian understand. Then sometimes we also add dialect inside there, understand? Then we add Mandarin. Then we add those things that only Malaysian can understand. So because of that, in order to cater for more wider circle to read and understand, we need to do some form of editing. to smoothen out things, and to make it clearer for people. So that one, I think, will be very useful. Then the other one, Papa Suri is doing that one. That one is Thursday class or Tuesday class. Thursday. Actually, these two, when they come out, I think, when you all be there, you will get a shock of your life, and you will be very happy that this transcript came out. I have been actually explaining all this over the last so many years, but it's not easy for a lot of Buddhists to understand, because most of you are so conditioned in meditation. If you were to ask yourself now about meditation, what do you think all those initial ideas were? Your so strong a conditioning to meditate means what? Sit. What was sitting? Then what happened? You want to develop the calmness, the peacefulness, then the special experience. You think with that you have progress and your meditation is very good. If you cannot do that, you say your meditation is lousy. If you do that, you totally don't understand what you are doing. And you totally don't understand meditation. Because in the Platform Sutta, like I shared that day, I think the 36th Platform Sutta, 26th November, that Ponchi just did the transcript. I just edited 2 pages, which was very good. Where it was mentioned inside there, that Sariputta was reprimanded. And in Swamma's word, he said, was scolded by Vimala Pitti. He passed by and he saw Sariputta sitting under the tree, concentrating his mind, meditating. So he asked, Sariputta, what are you doing? He said, I'm meditating. I'm cultivating. Then Vimala Pitti actually shouted to him, are you sure this is meditation? You totally don't understand what is meditation. Then after that, he explained to him. I tell you, he really got the shock of his life. Because that time Sariputta haven't become enlightened, he haven't really developed the full understanding. Yeah, it takes him a while. So he told Sariputta, he said, you know, what are you doing? You are actually sitting there to make your mind unmoving, to go into stillness, to go into silence, to develop all the fantastic mind state. You are seeking peacefulness, calmness, stillness, and silence. And in this way, the anusaya, the latent tendency, is suppressed. You cannot know. You have to release it out in the midst of life. If you can have this free mind to be in a state of peacefulness, stillness, and silence, when you confront it, that is the real meditative one. That's why under the Diamond Sutta, under the Platform Sutta, this sixth patriarch is very wise. He also said the same thing. He said you must have this straightforward mind, which is the sincere mind. And it's also the silent mind, the true mind. Without this straightforward mind, you cannot meditate, is it? Because the real meditation is not what people think. So he said, no amount of this type of sitting can awaken you. He said, you have to have this silent mind, the straightforward mind, which is in the state of silence, stillness, awareness, peacefulness. And all this is a quality of a free mind that is already in that state. That's why this is called heedfulness. Means ever mindful to develop wisdom, understanding, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. So because of that, under that particular chapter, when the transcript come out, you will see it was so beautifully described. Then I actually explain the sutta, otherwise you all cannot understand. But they use different words, they use completely different words. Okay, any question so far? Clear? Yeah, good. It's still about half an hour. Yeah? What you want to do? Continue with chapter 17 or we just have Dhamma discussion, Q&A? Yeah? What you want? Q&A better. Huh? Okay, now we open up. Anybody want to ask any question, you can. Or you can also add in whatever that you have, yeah? Through your cultivation, yeah? Your own progress and understanding, you can share it with the rest too. Mm. Or you can actually ask any other question that is related, yeah? To this topic of right living of Noble Eightfold Path. Or even the chapter on the chapter 16, eh, of this Dhamma Sutta. The next one is chapter 17, 137. So chapter 17, page 137. This one we will start next one. So hopefully by the end of this year we finish chapter 18, right? And I think we got two more class, right? Okay. Anybody wants to share anything or ask any question, just raise your hand. Anybody? Hui Rong also not around, so nobody to point to. Oh, today PG's birthday. We have a wish for her. You all have text her, I know. She was full of joy today. Yeah, first time in her life she received so many birthday wishes. They were so beautiful. I was so enjoyed. So shall we say happy birthday? Or you want to sing song? Okay, let me sing a simple one. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to PG. Happy birthday to you. So we wish you well. All your good and noble wish come true. We rejoice.
Sadhu.
And now you can pass the mic to PG. She will say a few words, then maybe ask some questions or share something.
Gratu, and all Paramitas, thank you so much for your wishes. It has been a very happy day for me. A little bit of my sharing is like, I think I've come to Brother Deal's class for about 3 years.
Yeah.
And during this time, I must say that there has been many changes in my life. The first year when I was here, it was like very kalang kabut. My mind cannot receive anything.
Yeah.
And partly because I was working full time, it's like every lesson I come here, I listen, I go, the essential Dhamma.
Yeah.
But that's what I don't understand. I thought that it's like every lesson I must learn something new, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But as it goes, every lesson seems to have more meaning.
Yeah.
You know?
As time progresses, you will understand better.
Even if it's a repetition and all that.
Yeah, but it's all from different angle.
Yeah.
And you will understand it differently. It will make your understanding more complete, more rounded. Without this example and approach from different angle and situation, it's very difficult for living being to comprehend the essential Dhamma. It's very difficult. Yeah, continue. Yeah, very good. Yeah.
Yeah. And as time goes, when Radhika goes into the the more complex subtleties of
Dhamma.
The Dhamma. Things seem to take another angle.
Yeah.
And it makes me think a lot.
Yeah. You will contemplate
deep into it. Not so
heedless
anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like every time you, especially when I drive, it makes so much changes.
Yes.
Previously, I'm like so agitated.
You tend to react to situation. Then your thought comment a lot about other people. Then you start to look within to understand your own form and mind. Because when you are heedless, you are no different from most of the heedless being too. Then as you understand, then you start to appreciate the essential Dhamma and has a lot of gratitude towards the Buddha. Then you start to determine to change for the better. Then when you understand deeper, that deep understanding transforms you again. Then you become very serious. Then you make aspiration, you vow, and you determine strongly through strong resolution or affirmation, which is all part of Adityana, to actually have this understanding and to walk the path of Dhamma with understanding. So all this, you understand. Then when you see the Bodhisattva, I tell you, by now, most of you would have appreciated and wake up. Yeah? Because without this understanding, life after life, very difficult. Yeah. Very good. Start to continue. Continue. Yeah.
Nowadays, I find that I'm more quiet and somehow the mind is more settled. And especially when I drive to work and all that, I listen to Brother Teo's talk. And the last few talks, like the one, the Thursday talk, and the recent one,
Friday talk.
That talk is just very productive.
Yes.
About the vows and all that.
Yes.
Yeah. I think a lot of us should listen for more time. And then
you should
understand.
Yeah. Very good. Sadhu. Let us rejoice.
Sadhu.
Yeah, the recent talk, I tell you, you better go and listen to it. Especially the clang talk on the vow, determination, aspiration, affirmation, or adhikana, the perfection of that virtue of adhikana. It is very, very amazing. Beyond that talk, I seldom give a talk on that topic. I think the condition was such, like I told you all last Tuesday, we were going through chapter 16, I think. Then we were talking about vows too. How Sakyamuni make all those vows and all those things. Then earlier on, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the great Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So all this, when you understand, you know how to use them, it becomes very powerful essential Dhamma that can actually transform your understanding of the cultivation. And it can develop the condition for you to progress very fast along the path of Dhamma, if you understand this. So this particular paramita or perfection is very, very important. And like I preached some of the Kayanamita earlier on, because this is the perfection that my nature had also done a lot in the distant past until now, the cultivation. And because I understand this perfection very well, it ties in with the right thing, right understanding, the wisdom part. That's why these are the two palm factors that actually lead my nature to the understanding of all this Dhamma and the cultivation and understanding. So this nature, wherever there is condition, it will try to share. But like I explained last time, earlier on, there was no condition. Very few are ready. In fact, that time, I couldn't even find one. Then later on, last 3 years, something very strange happened. I think because it's due to your good past, paramita, and affinity. I think about 3 years ago, I remember, beginning of 2013, 3 or 4 years ago. After I had my angio, remember? Then I came back, I took a rest for a while only. Then I came back. Then all of a sudden, the nature knew the Dharma will flourish in the Kayanvita so from that year onward. That's why after that retreat, a lot of things happened. Then after that, 2014, we really saw a lot of progress. Then in 2014 also, something happened. Then end of the gathering of Kayanvita, I knew the Kayanvita, the Dhamma will flourish even more within the Kayanvita. That's why that year 2015 beginning, end of 2014 first, a lot of people wrote to me inquiring about the Bodhisattva Vedanta. These are all Kayanvitas. Last time never before. Then some who totally don't have any idea what is it. If you were to ask me 1 year ago or what, he or she, but most of them are she, they say they will never have this talk. They dare not even arise a talk to take this way. But you know what happened after they progress? All this condition arise and they wrote to me. Then I reply to them. Then after that, all of a sudden, I think Padmasuri requested that we had a special ceremony to take the Bodhisattva vow. That's why the first week, I think the first Sunday, don't know whether Saturday or Sunday, I forgot already, we had a special Bodhisattva vow ceremony. That's why I sent out the two to Panchi and copy to you all. The first talk and the first recording was on the first taking of the Bodhisattva vow, which was January, beginning of January 2015. Then the second one, official one, is this September 2016. Yeah. In between, I think I mentioned one more time, but it was not a full-fledged ceremony. Yes, I can pass the mic to Papa Siri. Yes,
remember the first one is second January 2015.
15, yes.
It's an invitation for those who have
written to me and who wants to partake and develop more understanding. So that was the first time I explained the Bodhisattva way. Then I came out with the notes. And then we took the vow.
We didn't take the vow.
After that only we took the vow. But the recording is got April, the vow.
April this year. The first one is April this year.
But that second of January one, I read out the vow.
Yes, you read out the vow, you explain to us what is it about.
Oh, then we didn't take.
We didn't take.
Oh, okay. Then after that only another one take.
This April.
There is another recording.
Yes.
Oh, then we must get the one out. Now they are doing the transcript for the 2nd of January 2015 and the recent September one.
September one is Sue requested. So those will miss out.
Yeah, correct. Sue requested. But the April one, I don't know which one. I don't have. With the transcript that they are doing, where he is doing, in the bank, is this two one together with
Ponchi. The actual one is in April, I think.
April one. Try to get that one. We took that transcript out. Because this Bodhisattva vow transcript is very important, you know why? It will come out in book form for people who want to take the Bodhisattva way. And this one is going to bring the sasana up. It is going to create a great awakening for the flourishing, the re-flourishing of the sasana. And this one will actually cause the Buddha Dharma to rise again in years to come. And there will be a lot of good cultivator of them. And that's why I make it a point to get it and just do the transcript. Then check with Gladys and Quan Chi, I hope they are still doing it because they volunteer, but I didn't hear from where they really. She wanted to do the first part, then Quan Chi also want to volunteer. But never mind, whoever who wants to help, get the April one, then I will follow it out and see who wants to do it, then we get it done. And it will be very comprehensive. And that one can really be of great benefits to cultivate and even do all doing things. Very good, thank you for reminding me. I thought 2nd January we also took the vow. No, I think I only prayed you all on the Bodhisattva way. So after that thing, the 2nd of January 2015, until now it's coming to 2 years already. Because 2017 is 2 years. Next month is 2 years. And last 3 years, I tell you, the Bodhisattva way really took off. Hui Rong at that same time, end of 2014, requested for this Diamond Sutta. Then Miss Lee also wanted the Diamond Sutta. I said, cannot, I won't teach at 2 places the Diamond Sutta. Then she opted for 6 pages of Platform Sutta. That's why, and these 2 teachings are actually meant for the Bodhisattva way. That's why it came out so beautiful. And because of the condition, this nature realized a lot of Kanyamitas were ready in their past. And somehow, you all can understand, well, most of you. That's why my nature also very surprised. Last time, no condition to say it. But all of a sudden, the last few years, so much condition just arise. Then if you all check among yourself, you will come to realize your understanding of the essential Dhamma is so different now. So different now. That's why you can follow a lot of things. And these are the teachings that you cannot find in other places. It's very, very rare, just like the opening statement. And to have such condition means you have your good time. Your time will come. And a lot of things will happen at this year's retreat. And then make sure you find time to come. Well, my daughter also coming. And I'm going to share it differently. My recent trip to Singapore, I spoke to her. Wow, she really, really different. She actually, she told me what. Actually, early on, she already told me. She said, we all want our mind different. We can meditate very easily. We can just sit down and become very quiet, very still, and silent. You never really go for retreat or something. But she do at home. Then sometimes she do the yoga and she know how to relax also. Then her mind can just sit down. She said, Anapanasati like come to her very naturally. And she can just go into stillness and silence very fast. Then he can understand all the things that I give to him. He didn't even attend to that. See? How? Oh. It's from their past. And for me, it's not important whether I teach them or not. If there is no condition, nothing happens. But when there is condition, when they come and ask, then very fast they understand. And nowadays, especially in the last few months, I start sending the recording to them. And they never tell me once that no need to send already. So I continue to send. Means they have been listening, I think. So I every time now I copy to them the last few months. That's why last year when he made the decision to attend the retreat, Sri Anne was so surprised. And those when I say you register her, yeah, she texted to me. She saw the WhatsApp. Well, I think this year is the only year I started to put the phone, the Singapore phone, on the my calendar WhatsApp. So she got me attention. Then she said that yeah, I want to join the retreat. I said sure, I you got time. I said yeah, 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 9 days, no problem. I will take it. So we already blocked the day. Then recently, she when I remind her, is this month. He said, yeah, yeah, I know. It's all leave and prove early. He said, then the books, he asked me, what other books to bring on? I said, the Hatsutta book, and then the chanting book. Then recently I passed to the Bodhisattva one. So she is bringing these three. So those who are going for the retreat, remember, bring your Hatsutta notes. Okay, the big one. Then our retreat chanting. Then the Bodhisattva one. If you don't have, I got a lot of copy printed by Bama Suri. We should sadhu Bama Suri for retyping and printing it out. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then this time out there, I will do a formal, more intense type of ceremony. The Bodhisattva one. Because out there, the nature is different. We got Nirochana Buddha. You know who is Nirochana? The original first Samasa Buddha. The father, the spiritual body of the first Samasa Buddha. So according to Mahayana, his own self, they believe it's from this original Nirochana Samasa Buddha's nature that all the Samasa Buddha are linked back and connected. And so because of that, when you can actually hold the Bodhisattva vow witnessed by Virchana and the rest of the clippings, then it will be very, very different. Then your faith can be very different. Then you will go deep into your nature. Then with all this understanding and the one that I make for you in the Bodhisattva vow, that was, you will become beautiful. Then life after life, when you come, you don't have to worry anymore. That's why I say this life, sacrifice a bit, set the thing, then you are home forever. All of your future coming, whether you choose to come or you have to come, all the future. So it's worthwhile then. Like I told those from 4 or 5 years, you only have to study 1 or 2 years seriously. Then don't have to score, pass enough. Opportunity to enter university is there everywhere now with private college everything. And once you can enter university, very few people fail on an exam. Because university exam is so much easier than the Amitabha exam. And most undergraduate, they graduate. Because unless you really, really, really try and deep pay attention or what, you shouldn't be, then you are sad. So this Bodhisattva vow is the same. If you take it seriously, the understanding and determine deep, then hold it. If this one you can hold it strongly, it will go deep into your nature. Then in future when you come, or you have to come, somehow the condition will arise because of this vow, it will take you. And that understanding will come back to you. At the moment, the condition arise, the moment you see sign or what, it will lead you back to the thing. And the understanding is there by itself. And you will understand how it comes. I can share all this with you all that this life, this nature of mine, this segment of life, is very familiar with me. Like I used to tell my wife and those clients who are close to me. You think it's luck, nothing to do with luck or nothing. But if you don't really see and witness it, I can tell you, it can never be like that one, the life. It's like you are, I use the word, hell or lucky one, hell or blessed one, and everything falls into place at all. Think about that. Then everything just comes. This nature never do anything. It's just echo and flow, but because of the past, the understanding, it echo and flow, then it meet up with all this. Then all this just come. That's why I say, the teacher come, the guide come, everything come, the book also come. Then before that, the condition arise, and this form in mind when it arise, it's all already like taken care of. Then this understanding also automatic on by itself, it comes. Then like I used to tell you, a lot of things, this form in mind, never learned this life one. Then how can it share? How can it teach? And how is all this possible? That's why that nature will develop its own understanding. Then after that, it will know how to continue all this. Then it will know how to benefit living things and all these things. That's why this is a very rare condition, opportunity, the window. That's why I stress many, many times, don't let this window slip by. Just determine and put in the appropriate temper to strive on the people. You have nothing to lose. It's just this number of years, understand? How long do we live? Maybe 70 something or 80. Those who are lucky, we go further. Understand? Let's say average 70 something to 80. You still got quite a bit of time, you know. And for me, maybe another 70 years, 80. So if this nature can last until 80, it'll be very good already. Understand? Otherwise, after that, it's too weak, too fragile. I don't think it can still do this type of work. Unless the transcript, the books and all those things, these are the things that will take over and do wonders. Then after that, maybe when the time comes, I hope a lot of us will still be around. I tell you, 10 years from now, it will be completely different again. When we gather and talk, it's like during the time of the Buddha, so after he has taught for many years, the top disciple, the close one, when they speak different lingo, completely different, because understanding is so different. And even now you reflect that, 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you are completely different from now. You think easy to understand what I share. I tell you, get other Buddhist karma, they will run away. You are so contradictory and they cannot understand it or think. I tell you, you have a lot of the essential dhamma, they will never ever told what these things are. And they can never even really understand them. Especially the fire aggregates of form and not easy. Then not to say about the Noble Eightfold Path, the four foundation of mindfulness and all those things. You remember when we were in Plata, those who went with me? I gave that talk. They all liabo kiwa. Catch no fall. All of them don't know what is going on. Then I remember Poliana. She said, oh, Brantio, you give so many. Everything crammed into the two. Is it too heavy a dose? But I say, because I only go there maybe once a year, so this one is for 1 year to listen for 1 year. Then by the time I come back, maybe somebody who really diligently listened, they will develop some understanding that they can follow. Otherwise, they have to read the transcript books. Oh, that's
the theory.
Yeah. Yeah? That's the not only they say you are so blessed, you all are indeed very blessed because of your karma from the past. Otherwise you won't stay here, I tell you. You will be lost. And I tell you, even to participate, like last time I used to say, to participate and partake in the 2 hour Dharma session that we have, any of this, I tell you, your karma, your wholesomeness, your understanding, way beyond what other people can cultivate for many, many months. Even they go and make offering, donation or whatever, or go retreat, do all those funny things. For many, many months, they cannot even compare to one such a thing. Because you come and attend, you understand, and you attend to things you do, and you do your understanding. And many of you have that understanding of Noma, to a certain extent, I tell you. That's why that type of cultivation is very different. Very, very different. What's the time now? I hope my this clock is fast. 10:30 already. Something already. So we all can. Oh, another 5 minutes. That one fast. Not so fast, huh? So you still got 5 minutes. Yeah. What else? Anybody else on the ship? That's why we got PG, yeah? Happy birthday. Great addition for all the good sharing. That's why Dhamma, you only need condition. You don't really have to be, you don't know what to ask. Your question is not important anymore. But it can trigger a fantastic condition for the Dhamma to show.
Jiang Wei Li 那天星期五讲的那个 Bodhisattva Wild 的，我听了两次。第一次我听的时候就其实也没有什么真的听，听了就睡了。然后第二次听，我打从心里真的那种感恩、那种感动就是流泪了。我也不知道为什么，然后我就好像有一股那种。不想再听了，然后我就把它停，然后sorry Brad就我不能再听了，我好感动。然后我跟 Brad 就说我们understand 那个 nomad 那个 tours 的 explain， 我真的不知道，我也不明白，我在摇头，所以我告诉我自己，我还没有走到那边，所以不需要明白，不需要知道。
因为陀佛里面知道就可以了，心里面知道就可以了。Because a lot of things your thought can never understand. Share. Yes, very good. You all should share. Open up.
I don't know whether this is understanding of Mama. Right, recently I have thought of why should I be doing this?Why are you not doing it? Actually, there is a mark.
Yeah,
the moment
yeah,
you ask,
yeah.
Why is it me? Why? The moment
Sorry,
you ask,
no,
why is
no,
this
no,
me?
No,
that means the mark of the self is there.
Yeah, because the thought is egoic. The thought compare. The thought is egoic. And who does the thought compare? It's always you. Because you check your question. Why should I be the only one doing it? Why other people not doing it? So the mark of the self.The mark of others. Then why are the living beings like that? Then what am I in this world for? See, the mark is everywhere, understand? But when you understand, you will come to know this is for communication, understand? Of the thing and everything. There are words and all this are for communication. Then you know this form of mind is not you. Karmically conditioned now. Always remember this.Like in the Bodhisattva Vow, I put that. It's just a karmically conditioned form of mind, a dual vehicle for this nature of mind to come, to experience life, to live life, to cultivate, to develop all the understanding, the wholesomeness, to experience all the beauty and wonders of life. And this is what it is for. So use it wisely and properly. Then hey no you, hey no me. But this form of mind has its duty as well.Because it is subject to karma. Like the Buddha said, it's born of karma. And to karma, condition is supported by karma. And it is what it is because of karma. So this form of mind is related to karma. It has to abide by the nature's law that governs life and existence. So because of that, it has its duty. It cannot simply do things as well.Then the karmic nature will be affected. Then before your mind connect and develop the appropriate understanding to meditate, you cannot receive your spiritual nature's inheritance. No matter how much you have cultivated, you have to start the meditation. Unless you are like being born without the mundane mind. Then the moment you hear truth, you connect, understand? You can connect. But most living beings I realize who don't have this nature and this path, they have to learn very hard. That's how. Like most of you all may think, maybe you are one of that type. I tell you, no, you have your karma. Otherwise, you cannot be here. Understand? You cannot understand what this nature shares with you. No way. That's why you are actually the blessed one. You have your karma, but you don't realize because the time has not come.And you will not understand until it comes. But some of you will already have the understanding. There are a lot of strange things happen to you. And you got a lot of inner experience that you can never explain, that the mind can never understand. So don't try to know. I always use the word, don't try to know. Just do. Because that nature is so beautiful. Just trust. The four support on the white one. Relax away. 24 hours. Then trust. Don't try to know. That nature will understand. Then when you encounter a situation, you know what to do. The most important thing is to have that clarity that this form of mind is not you. Then you become very different. Then the mark is completely gone. Understand that? The words still have marks, understand that? It's for communication. It's for living. But the understanding is, this is the conditioned world. That's why there is still under the Atsuta. There is still for noble truth, understand? There is still birth, always sickness and death. But in the ultimate truth, there is no such thing, understand? Yeah. In true emptiness. Yeah. That's why when you understand all this, then the mark disappears. Mark is just an idea, a concept created by thought, created by the consciousness which is content, the wrong thing. So all this, when you understand, you become beautiful. So don't try to use the thought to understand no mark. It cannot be understood. It's just knowledge. But when you come to a certain type of realization, like what Thomas we went through, it's very good. But the awareness see that all this chattering inside is still full of mark. That's why it will complain, it will chatter, it will verbalize. And verbalizing is very strong. Then it will continuously create all this sankhara and make you heedless because you still cannot wake up to that reality, that understanding. The mark is still very strong. That's why I say even to be a sotapa is not that easy, not like what people think. Oh, I understand, this is nonsense for me. You think you can become sotapa? No. Because the egoic mind is so strong. It takes a while to actually develop the understanding to do it. You have to be very, very mindful, very faithful. And you have to develop a lot of understanding through life, in daily mind, to meditate. We are faithfulness, daily mindfulness. Without daily mindfulness, I tell you, you can forget about meditation. Your meditation is not about formal meditation. No amount of sitting and walking can actually transform you. When you don't develop the faithfulness in the midst of life, then you know. Okay, we better end. Let us be joyful.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, we will do the chanting minutes and 7 minutes. Then we have the inspiration. Let us recall the mind, all the holiness, living life.